Welcome to the BitByte Podcast, your source for news and information about Bitcoin and the cryptocurrency space. This podcast is meant for educational and entertainment purposes only, and is not financial advice.
Welcome to the BitByte Podcast. This is Hans.
And this is Rick.
And it's been a little bit since we recorded an episode.
Yep. Somebody decided to be a little bitch and catch Corona.
Yeah, well, and I mean, I'll be honest too. I had a lot of traveling that I was doing, and so I decided to take a week off too. Like, I kind of separated from everything. The only thing I did do is I did upload that video of the Bitcoin mining machine. We're at 97 views so far on YouTube. So if you guys have not seen that, feel free to check that out. Gives you an idea of what it's like to run a Bitcoin node from your own home. And it also doubles as a Lightning node, just to help secure the network.
Yeah. No, I liked it.
Yeah. I'm still trying to get it updated because my internet sucks.
Well, at least you got to go out places this past couple of weeks.
Yeah, no, for sure. It was kind of nice to go out there and not go out on Black Friday.
Yeah.
So we did do was price predictions on the last episode that we had recorded. Do you remember what yours was?
Well, I remember you were going all crazy, saying like 75 or something. I was like, hey, slow your roll. It's not going to be that high.
Yeah, I had said 70. I think I said 74,000.
Yeah.
And yours was 70.
Yep.
And you got closer.
Closer.
You were like right there, dude. You were, because it hit 69. And so plan B, like we're seeing the month close tonight. Technically, it probably already closed already at the time of this recording. And plan B's prediction was that we were going to hit 98,000 by the end of November. And he had been pretty right on for the past 3 months running. This would have been his fourth month if he would have nailed it. And we did not hit that.
No, not even close.
I mean, I still give him October's. He was off by 3%, but by the next day, by October 1st, it was November 1st, right? November 1st, yeah. We hit the target that he had said, even though we didn't hit it on technically on the October 30th or 31st, I'm sorry. When we didn't hit it then, we did hit it the following day. So I still give him that. I mean, he was off by like 3%. But I mean, dude, if you're calling the Bitcoin market 6 months in advance and you're only off by 3%, I give you kudos.
For sure.
But he was way the fuck.
Well, that's the thing.
Though,
it's been crazy.
Yeah. It's been nuts. You brought up something that was pretty interesting, too. What was it you were talking about right before we started?
Oh, yeah. Sweden was leading the charge on banning cryptocurrency mining in all of their, you know, cryptocurrency activities in this for the sake of climate change, of course, because too much electricity consumption from them miners. And I know that I thought that was interesting because that kind of led to a dip earlier this week and you didn't even know it had happened, right? There's so much worldwide news going on, but the European Union is at least looking at that right now.
Yeah, I went on and I pulled up that article that you were talking about, and it looks like there was two officials out of Sweden that looked like they were trying to push an agenda to ban cryptocurrency mining. It says within the country, but it sounds like if they're going to push for it for within the EU, then it'd be all the European Union. Would do that. However, I mean, at the same time, you also had El Salvador announcing that they were going to start a Bitcoin city, and that they were going to start another mining operation using volcano energy. They've already got one going, and they announced plans for another. So, I mean, Bitcoin's built to withstand these things. If one country bans it, some other country's going to pick it up. I mean, it'll just flow to wherever the electricity is going to be the cheapest and the freest for them.
Yep.
It'll be hiccups, but it'll happen. But no, that was interesting. I didn't hear about that.
Well, that's the whole thing. I mean, the climate change initiatives, I mean, it was for the Paris Climate Accord, but that's just a face for the reasons that the powers that be would like to squash Bitcoin and other crypto.
And they're going to try and come at it from any which angle they can, right? I mean, there's too much at stake, I think, in a way. I mean, I think the IMF did lay down, like, they were telling El Salvador, look, we don't like what you're doing, because El Salvador also announced $1 billion Bitcoin bond. I think that they're launching, and that allowed them to not have to take a loan out from the IMF. And I think they're doing it in conjunction.
Of course, the IMF is not going to like that.
Yeah, no, they don't at all. And so they kind of basically were like, well, you got to be careful because Bitcoin's very volatile. And I think Nayib Bukele, I think is his name, he basically told them, well, if you guys stop fucking up money, pardon my French, I'll correct that later. if you stop messing with the money supply, then yeah, sure. But until that time comes, this is what we're going to do.
That's really interesting.
That is kind of interesting. I'm curious, especially with the way El Salvador, because I don't know a whole lot about El Salvador. I don't know, are they like major corrupt?
Honestly, everything in Central and South America is on a spectrum of corruption that, I mean, I don't know how bad to put it, but yeah. That's probably not great.
But right? See, and that's the thing, though, is that, I mean, because, you know, we talked about that, I think, on the last podcast, was that your country's kind of stance on cryptocurrency and Bitcoin especially is usually kind of their look at freedom. And if you have a country that has announced it as its official currency and is really embracing it, it seems like that would be the antithesis of a corruption state, because everything's going to be visible.
No, I agree. I mean, I think it's a little bit forward thinking. I think they're just looking this as their shot to basically jump from one stratosphere to the next as far as legit countries go. Because if they bet the farm on Bitcoin and then it turns out that they were correct, I mean, countries like El Salvador could find themselves being one of the wealthiest places on Earth.
Yeah.
With a snap of a finger. I mean, it's not for sure going to happen, but it's possible, right?
Yeah, and I think it's probably a Hail Mary play for them in a lot of ways, right? But I mean, you could essentially, I mean, it would become like a Hong Kong if that takes place, where it would just be this little consolidation of power, of wealth, if it happens to take off. I mean, you'll see other countries follow suit, but they basically are laying down the gauntlet first, and I mean, that gives them the first mover advantage.
Exactly. Yeah, well, they've also, what did they make it? They actually made it a legal tender.
Yes.
Am I correct on that?
Yeah, they made it legal tender within their country.
And they're the first country to do that, so.
Yeah, Japan did something where they recognized it as a currency, but I don't think they recognized it as legal tender. So right now, El Salvador is running both the U.S. dollar and Bitcoin. So I think that's kind of the first for them. The other piece of news that I wanted to bring up was Jerome Powell, because we were talking about that too before we started. You said he got he's been put into his position for another 4 years under the Biden administration, right?
Yep, he's the Federal Reserve Chairman.
Yeah, and today he was speaking, and he said basically, I mean, we've heard Biden talk about how, you know, this inflation is temporary and stuff like that. And I think Jerome Powell, I think about a month ago or 2 months ago, had said that it was transitory. And now he is saying that we need to stop calling it transitory inflation, which, I mean, when you look at 6 months in a row and the CPI has been rising steadily by 5% every month. Like, at what point do you stop calling it transitory? So he's like, it's not very transitory. We're going to be looking at this for at least another year, where it's going to be riding on our backs. I've heard some different things on the inflationary thing. Oh, go ahead. I'm sorry.
That's just insane, because CPI doesn't even look at, you know, the cost of home, you know, your home and energy costs and stuff like that, which have like skyrocketed over the past few months, you know, 6 months or so.
Yeah. Yeah. And I mean, CPI is just, it looks at a very, it's, it's select markets of what they think the average household is buying, right? They don't look at everything as a whole. So we know, I mean, we would say, I would say personally that inflation is probably closer to 15%.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, it's definitely much higher than the CPI because, like I said, it's those select things that it makes the government's actions look, are their results better than what they really are?
Right.
Like if you're living paycheck to paycheck, you're really feeling this right now.
Yeah, no, for sure. And it's awful. I mean, inflation just steals from you. I mean, it's, that's all there is to it. And I mean, they can blame it on whatever they want to, but, and you know, and for them, it's a balancing act, right? Like they can't pump too much money in, but they're going to have to keep pumping money in. They can't stop it at this point. We've talked about that before.
No, no, it's the deal. It's the drug, right?
And the drug of choice.
As soon as they try and pull it back, they start having the shakes.
Yep.
So they got to keep injecting more. So,
yeah. I don't know. It'll be interesting to see how this is all going to play out. But, you know, at the same time, though, I mean, talking about like the pullback within cryptocurrency, like, I mean, this is the type of news that Bitcoin was built for. And it's, I don't know, is it being manipulated or not? What do you think?
Oh, yeah, I think for sure. I mean, there was some action that was going on over the past, I don't know, week or so where it dipped from, you know, 58 and it just went in this weird sawtooth down at the bottom and then it came right back up. I don't know. To me, it, like those type of, that type of action just looks, I don't know, fake or something's going on. Some manipulation's going on. I can't say what.
The kids nowadays would call it sus. It's sus, Rick.
It's sus.
Yeah, I totally agree. I mean, today, like, I mean, past 2 days, actually, we've seen Bitcoin, and it's weird because we've seen Bitcoin do this a lot where it hits its head every time and it gets dropped down, right? But it's so buoyant as soon as it's like holding that balloon underwater, right? As soon as you let go of it, it's going to start to go back up. And so today and yesterday, we saw it hit the 59,000 mark. I think today we hit 58 something. And then it hits that mark and then it gets dropped back down. And I don't know if part of it is that, okay, well, November's ending. Are they going to give it, you know, kind of give it free rein to run again in December? Or do you think they're going to continue to suppress it?
It's hard to say, but I just know it looks really suspect, some of the numbers that keep hitting down. But, you know, the harder they push down, it wants to bounce back, if not even higher.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think there was an interesting tweet I saw, and I would have to pull it up, but I'm going to paraphrase it right now. It was basically talking about if El Salvadors are going to do these bonds and they keep this price low like this and not let it just kind of go, it's going to make it look very appealing to a lot of countries to start buying into those bonds that El Salvador is going to run.
Yep.
So, I mean, it's either they got to let it go or that bond thing is really going to take off. I don't know. It's kind of crazy.
Yeah. And I've actually, you know, what's kind of crazy about that too, is I was listening to a podcast from a company that started doing gold bonds here recently.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, and those really haven't happened since the days of FDR.
Yeah.
So, I mean, there's definitely markets for putting out bonds for stronger assets versus the dollar.
Right.
I mean, the bond market for the dollar is just, you're just waiting for that to die because it's just insane. The inflation levels that we're seeing and the rates that they're held at, it's just ridiculous. You're going to lose your butt no matter what you do in the bond market right now.
Yeah. Well, and it becomes another one of those things. It's at that time where Bitcoin and gold, they're both kind of built for this. You know, this is kind of what they're intended for in the aspect of money itself, you know, not a currency per se, but is money, a store of value play. And I mean, you know, within the gold market, it's very manipulated because it's all paper, right? And that's always been the problem with the gold market is that because it is paper, they can manipulate it so much easier, because it's not backing the physical gold. You know, it's not going off the actual vaults. It's centralized and it's controlled. So, I mean, this is another test for gold to see what's going to happen with that, I think. I think it'd be good to see some movement with gold. I don't see why we can't have both that are inflation hedges in a way. Next thing I was going to bring up, too, was Jack Dorsey was stepping down as CEO of Twitter. And I think it's mainly to focus on Bitcoin and the development of the Bitcoin ecosystem. He's been a strong, strong proponent of Bitcoin, and he believes that it will be the native currency of the internet. And I think kudos to him, man. He's done some amazing work. I mean, everybody wants to talk about Elon Musk, but this guy's pretty young, and he's been CEO of two companies at the same time, both Square and Twitter. So, hats off to him.
Actually, what are your thoughts on Jack?
You know, he's a weird cat. I don't know. I mean, from him fasting for a week at a time and stuff like that. But I think the thing about Jack is that he's very much against censorship, even though Twitter has been, kind of embroiled within that big tech company censorship thing that has happened across multiple companies. He's
basically all of Silicon Valley, right?
Yeah. He's actually been a voice kind of against it a lot of times. And he's not comfortable wielding that power within a company. At least that's what he said publicly.
I actually believe him.
I do too. He's weird enough that I think, I do want to believe him. I don't think anybody would embrace Bitcoin as strongly as he does. Like he is a maximalist and a half. Like he just, Bitcoin is it to him. So I'm kind of excited to see what those moves will be.
I saw him tweet out like a copy of Murray Rothbard's Anatomy of the State, which is like some hardcore anarcho-capitalist essay. I mean, that's as hardcore as it gets as far as the libertarian crazies go. And I thought that was kind of funny. Yeah. But I mean, his company is basically ran by leftists that want to silence, you know, the opposition. And I think he was kind of a bulwark against that. But now that he's leaving, I think Twitter is going to be a worse place for it, in my opinion.
Yeah, well, and I think a big part of Twitter's, I can't say it's all been the success of the cryptocurrency space and the fact that, you don't hear a lot about the cryptocurrency craze and the people on, I mean, let me rephrase this. I'm kind of getting off the rails here whenever I'm talking. When you talk about people like on YouTube, you and I have had these discussions and they're releasing cryptocurrency videos and stuff like that. There's a lot of bans that take place, right? Shadow bans, exactly. Like for no reason. Like, I mean, all of a sudden something gets taken down and they have to fight and eventually they get brought back up because it's like usually a BS kind of a charge. You didn't see that kind of account withdrawals within Twitter. And now I'm curious if he's going to actually go and build a company that is going to be decentralized. That is, because he was talking about at one point, he was talking about working on a new type of a Twitter platform that was going to be blockchain based on Bitcoin, that was going to be kind of just decentralized. It was going to be free to run. And I think they called it Blue Sky or something like that. I could be wrong on the name. But now with him working on this DEX, I think he knows what it takes to be successful within that realm. And I think if a lot of the cryptocurrency Twitter people flock to his other platform, I think he could build something equally successful.
Well, I hope so. But that's the thing. I've actually been on Twitter a little bit over the past couple of weeks. And Twitter is still kind of interesting. I mean, they've gotten rid of a lot of people or some people, but it still has some interesting voices on there.
Yeah.
And I don't see that on YouTube as much anymore. I don't see that on Facebook. And I know I'm just a little bit sad because, you know, there could be some interesting voices that kind of jump through the fray on Twitter. And, you know, the powers that be, you know, they like propping up the corporate press and suppressing everything else. So yeah. At least that's how I see it.
No, I completely agree. I mean, it may become, and that's why I'm saying, I mean, it could become one of those things where now with Jack gone, and I think you kind of mentioned this too, is that he may have been, I think what did you call, you said he was kind of like the, oh, how do you refer to him? He was almost like the brakes on some of that stuff for what they wanted to do. And maybe, yeah, maybe it was mutual work
against all that craziness.
Right. And it may have been a mutual agreement. Like, look, like our visions are different. Like I no longer see the same Twitter that you see. So the board maybe have been more than happy to watch him leave. And I mean, but at the same time, I would not put it past him to be like, all right, I'm going to go develop something else. And I hope he's just as successful with that. He was successful with two companies now. I bet you he has no problem making a third.
Well, here's the hope, at least for freedom's sake.
Yeah. No, and I mean, I think as long as he keeps that kind of his champion of ideals, I think he'll do it. And I think he'll get a lot of backing. I mean, there's a lot of Bitcoin followers out there that are not necessarily that they think Jack is the best ever, but I think they'll follow whatever platform he comes up with. If not, yeah, then we'll right. have our own echo chamber. I don't know. It'll be interesting to see.
Yeah, that's the other thing, too. You know, it will become just a one-sided. Well, Twitter has kind of become one-sided where there's almost some self-segregation going on. But you can still cross over and have arguments and stuff like that. But
yeah.
I don't know. The Wild West days of Twitter have been long gone, and maybe we'll look at the everything up before yesterday is the Wild West.
Yeah, that's true.
Twitter when it gets locked down. I don't know.
And that could, I mean, who knows what all changes are going to come forth. But I do wish Jack success, and I hope, I mean, that he's able to come up with something great for all of us to be able to use. I think, I mean, if you have somebody, I mean, this is almost the equivalent of Elon Musk quitting Tesla and SpaceX to work on Bitcoin. I mean, it's not the same caliber, maybe in charisma wise or whatever, but I mean, if you've got a $1 billion CEO that's like, look, this is what I'm going to do full time, more power to him, in my opinion. But
absolutely.
We'll see.
I wouldn't mind being a $1 billion CEO.
Yeah. Billionaire CEO of two companies. Yeah. No, dude, I mean, he can do whatever he wants to. I know he's talking about coming out with some hardware that people will be mining at home on their own. And it's supposed to be pretty cost effective to where kind of anybody will be able to own it. And they'll all be able to mine Bitcoin at their house. And I don't know. He's got a lot of different things that I've heard rumors of in the fire. So we'll see. We shall see. Question for you, because we're approaching our episode mark lengthwise. What's your prediction for Bitcoin going into December?
What is it at? 69 right now?
No, I don't even think it's at 60.
No, it's not at 59.
Let me check. I'm going to check prices. I could look on my Bitcoin machine and it'll tell me right there, but 57,195 is what I'm seeing right now.
57, jeez.
It hit a high today. It's going to be a wild one.
I think I don't think things are going to turn around on Bitcoin too bad. But if it's at 60 again or 70, I wouldn't be surprised. If it's much past that, I am going to be a little bit surprised.
Yeah, I do think we'll make another run at 60 going into the rest of this week. I think we could be back above 60 by the end of this week. Especially because December is the beginning of the new month. So I'm going to say 62,000 by say this weekend.
Yeah, seems reasonable.
I didn't go to the stratosphere this time.
I don't know. I was seeing somewhere that, Michael Saylor and, they've been picking up Bitcoin like crazy here recently.
Oh, he owns like almost 0.5% of all the Bitcoin in the world or something like that.
Yeah.
I mean, he's been stacking it like crazy, but he's doing it pretty, I mean, obviously he's smart about it, right? He's got it in his books to where even if Bitcoin loses money, he gets to use this as a write-off on his corporate tax returns. So if it makes money, he wins.
This tweet was from yesterday.
He loses money, he wins. What was the tweet?
Yeah. It said the MicroStrategy has purchased an additional 7,002 Bitcoins for $414.4 million in cash as average, at an average price of $59,187 per Bitcoin. That was as of yesterday.
Yeah. That dude is, he's another one that really believes in Bitcoin.
Yeah. Well, you add another 7,000. So now they have 121,000.
121,000 Bitcoin. Can you imagine that? Anyways, do you got anything else for everybody?
No, I think that's it.
You can email us at contact@thebitbytepodcast.com. And you can also, we do have a Twitter account now. So you need to get one set up for you for the BitByte.
Absolutely.
And we're still working on getting some more social media type platforms out there. And then, of course, we do have that YouTube video for the Bitcoin Machine, which is powered by Umbrella, if you want to check that out. But yeah, I do appreciate you guys for listening. We thank all your support. If you have feedback for us, you want to come on the show, you want to do anything, just hit us up. Let us know.
No promises or nothing.
You got to be worth your weight in something if you're going to come on here. Anyways, peace out, people.
Laters.